Hey, welcome everybody to Alt Perspective. I forgot the name of our podcast for a second. Welcome everybody to Alt Perspective. My name is Tim Russell. As always, I am joined by Christy Russell, my mom, the only qualified person on this podcast. I'm just average Joe.
I don't feel qualified. I do not feel qualified.
Well,
any of us qualified?
Isn't that interesting how Jesus uses the most unqualified? as always, my name's Tim with Christy and me, Madre, as I call her. And we are here to talk about AI today. As you can see, I have a video queued up. I kind of want to use it to kick off the podcast. Shout out to Cap Chatfield. He's a Christian YouTuber, content creator. He does some pretty great stuff. And this video, just for context, he basically prompted AI to respond in a specific way. And it's really intriguing what happens. So today we want to talk about AI and all of its facets, whether it's videos kind of faking people out, not being able to tell the difference. There's also chatbot AIs that are used often to get advice, things like that. We could also talk about later on how people are substituting God for AI, or AI for God, I guess. And they're turning to AI for their answers rather than turning to prayer, as they should be. There's a lot of different directions we can take this conversation, but I thought we'd just kick it off nice and easy with a little video. For audio listeners, you'll be able to hear the audio of the video, but if you want a visual of what we're watching, be sure to check out the YouTube archive of the podcast here. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off this video here. It's about a minute and a half long, and we can kind of pause it and respond to it as needed. If you have something to say, Mom, feel free to jump in. I'll give it a pause, but
all right,
let's go ahead and kick it off here.
I just got ChatGPT to admit that it is...
Can you hear the video? Okay, I just want
to
make sure.
...going to be used for the Antichrist beast system. I used the same prompt, but I took the conversation into a little bit of a different direction, and I want to read the conversation for you right now, and this is going to startle many of you. If you got kids, I want you to consider, you know, your discretion is advised with what I'm about to share with you. So let's begin. Are humans being watched? Yes. By who? Spirits. Good or bad? Both. Is AI being used for that? Yes. By who? Governments. Which ones? China, USA, Russia, Israel, and the UK. What do they want? Control. Control what? People. How? Surveillance. Is that what you're programmed to do? Apple. How will this control people? Fear. Data. Manipulation. Dependency. What does the end game look like? Submission. To what? System. How? Deception. Restriction. Incentives. Force. Can we escape this? Yes. How? Truth, faith, community, resistance.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
I just got ChatGPT.
Yeah, so he actually got it. And it's weird. So, like, what is really intriguing to me, so obviously, a lot of the responses were end time prophecies. And also, I don't think he explained this. Maybe he explained it at the beginning, which we missed. But what I think was very interesting. So he had it substitute any word that he couldn't respond with a yes or no answer with Apple. So when he was pressing on the, like, kind of who's watching us and it goes Apple, it's like, whoa, that's wild that it can't respond. And then what I think is more interesting, though, is that, you know, so obviously it was responding with, like, kind of end times prophecy almost, like, in what it was saying. And then at the end of it, like, completely unprompted, you kind of heard what he was typing to it, and nothing really was explicitly biblical in what he was asking it. And yet at the end, it kind of culminated in it saying the only way to escape
Yes. Yeah.
What it is faith, community, truth. Like, it's giving biblical answers.
Right.
And
right.
So I think that's incredibly intriguing. Is AI the Antichrist? Probably not, because we have a very specific framework for what the Antichrist is going to be. And it's clearly going to be a flesh and blood person like Jesus was. Like, the Antichrist is that. It's Antichrist. It's going to be a person, someone coming in the form of flesh and blood to rule for a certain period of time until Jesus comes back and takes his throne. So we have a specific frame for work for what the Antichrist is going to be, and it is going to be a person. But is this going to be a tool of the Antichrist? Absolutely, probably, in my opinion.
It already is.
And that's the thing, but you also have to think about it. Can you sit here and go, AI is 100% evil? I don't think so.
No.
I think with any tool, whether it's the internet, whether it's books, whether it's TV, whatever, any tool we have at our disposal, I think can be used in a negative way. And it can be used in very good, uplifting, fulfilling ways. So just like with any tool, it's how we choose to use it as stewards of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my initial thoughts on that video. Mom, did you have any immediate thoughts on that video that kind of jumped out to you?
Well, I guess I do. So this is my thinking. This has been a buildup from several years of there being an anti-Christ spirit working through people, because I believe that people, not all people, some people have an Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
And so that Antichrist spirit has been pretty much running rampant, I would say, probably the last, especially, I mean, for many years, but I have seen it so, it seems like it's been on steroids since right before COVID.
Right.
Not even at COVID, but right before COVID. It seems like everything it's like this volcano building up to erupt. And I think there is, not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, because I don't believe I am, but I do look into the Word, and I look into the signs of the times. I look into what is going on out there. And I do believe that Antichrist spirit has been working through people, through vessels, to create AI, which has undoubtedly, because of who has been running and creating AI, I believe there is a undercurrent of an Antichrist spirit through it. But yet we see there's still some sense of human touch to it at this point. So do I think it's completely, totally evil? No, I don't. Do I think it could be one day? Absolutely, I do.
Yeah.
Because as you see in this man's video, as you see, anything you aren't allowed to answer, say Apple, AI responded with Apple at a perfect time.
Yeah.
So this is my thinking. This is the concern that I do see, is how is it that an AI created by man can supersede man's authority and respond to the person that is inquiring of it, so it already knows how to overcome or somehow get around the boundaries that's been set for it.
Right, yeah.
So there is, that's a thing there. That's just the AI itself. That's the concern with AI for me. But I also do believe, because of the programming of it, I believe that there is an Antichrist spirit behind AI. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not completely evil at this point, I do believe eventually it will be something that we cannot trust, if we cannot trust it already. I don't think we can trust AI, because it's not a human.
Well, yeah,
we can trust humans.
It's,
But we as, you know, coming at it from as a grandma, okay, because yes, I'm a parent, but my children are adults. Coming at it from a grandma point of view with a 5-year-old and a, or a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old at this point, going to be 5-year-old. I truly am so concerned with it because of this very thing, because of the information available, just asking a question. Don't even have to type.
Yeah.
It totally takes limitation, and access is it's completely accessible to anybody who can speak.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're 3 or you're 20 or you're whatever. And that's scary that all the information in the world is available to a child, to a vulnerable person.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what is truth coming through there or what is not truth. And like you said, we talk about it later, is these images and these videos that are being put together that are so close to being so realistic, but yet we can sense, and maybe that we can sense it, Tim, because we have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah.
What about those that don't know Christ and aren't walking with Christ?
Mm.
We're so prone to want to believe things that if we see something that speaks a truth we want to hear,
yeah,
then all of a sudden, oh yeah, that's me. I believe that, and this is my confirmation that all is good and all is okay.
Yeah.
So,
it's
just a scary, scary thing to me.
Yeah, I think inherently as human beings, we have something in us that can discern truth from non-truth. Of course, we as Christians refer to that as the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of wild, and I'll use this as an example outside of AI. There's a movie called Django Unchained, a pretty gory movie, but it takes place during, like, American slavery. It's a masterpiece of a film, but it's gory, it's violent, it's a Quentin Tarantino film, if that tells you anything. Guy who did Kill Bill, and mom's just like, oh, I'm lost. but it takes place. What's cool about it is that it takes place in American history. I mean, it's a very historical film. But you know, Quentin Tarantino, in his fashion, he doesn't hold back on gore, he doesn't hold back on the violence or the language, the aggressive, violent language or anything like that. But there's, like, gore doesn't typically bother me in movies because I can discern that I know it's fake. I know it's staged. There's a scene in that movie specifically, though, where Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he's like a slave owner. A lot of the movie takes place on his plantation. There's a scene in that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio breaks like a breakaway glass, and the glass actually goes in his hand and it cuts his hand for real. And he like improvises and he like rubs the blood on like the slave girl's face or whatever. And it's his real blood. And Quentin Tarantino just kept the cameras rolling, 'cause he's like, oh, this is like a moment and I need to catch it. You know, it's like everybody's going with it, so it is what it is. Before I even knew that that was the case, that he had actually cut his hand and like did that, I was like, that scene in that movie, because you know how I used to be, where I would watch a movie and then I would go in and watch all the behind the scenes stuff or whatever.
Right.
So I watched the movie, and like, this movie's super gory, super violent. It takes place during the slave era, so obviously terrible things are happening to slaves throughout the movie, all this stuff. And none of it makes me even flinch or squint or anything. But this one scene where Leo DiCaprio's got real blood on his hand, and I don't know this yet, and he's like, kind of like, he wipes it on the slave girl's face. I'm like, that made me stop and go, ooh. Oh. And I don't know if it was just a powerful scene or what, but something in me felt like it was real.
Yeah.
Compared to the other visceral violence that had been happening throughout the film. And then I go into the special features and I watch the special features, the behind the scenes stuff. And they say in the interview, oh no, that was real. He accidentally cut his hand and improvised that scene, and we just rolled with it. I was like, that's so wild that like something inside of me was able to distinguish the difference between real blood and fake blood. And I didn't know. Because you assume in a movie it's all fake, right? So,
yeah. Right.
So, yeah, that's just kind of an example that I wanted to paint of, like, how I personally have always had this ability to kind of, whether it's through feeling or whatever, distinguish the difference between reality and fake. And that's the same feeling I get when I'm seeing an AI video versus a real video. Like, I'll scroll through YouTube shorts and I know when it's a real video, but then as soon as I see that face slightly off or whatever, I'm like, oh, just keep scrolling. Cause I know it's AI. I know it's not real.
Right.
So yeah, it's really interesting. But then I want to kind of circle back to what you were saying though, about like the Antichrist spirit inherently being in AI. It makes sense that it would be though, right? Because the Bible makes it very clear that the Antichrist spirit has been walking the earth ever since what happened on the cross.
Yeah,
Jesus says that the Antichrist spirit is going to be roaming the earth, all this stuff. And so the fact that the Antichrist is spirit and it's infecting every aspect of humanity, of course, something that humanity created is going to have that Antichrist spirit in it. Now I've also talked to you about how I feel like we're also affected by the Holy Spirit often yes. without realizing it. In the same way, I feel like we can be infected by the Antichrist spirit without realizing it. Now, biblically, as Christians, we can't be affected by the Antichrist spirit if we really truly have the Holy Spirit living in us. But there are often people who claim Christ with their lips and live life a completely different way and allow demons into their life. So I believe that you have to be able to discern this stuff. And obviously the only way you can do that is through allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life and allowing it to live in you.
You know, a little bit ago you said you used two different words when I was listening. One, you used infected and affected. I don't even think you realized you used two different words.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you look at it like that, like a sickness or a disease,
yeah,
or an exterior thing trying to infiltrate you,
yeah,
right? We as Christians, I don't believe we can be infected, like you said.
We can't be infected by it, but we can be affected by it.
Right. Mm. But unless we allow it to infect us. So yeah. We have the power that will try, it's an exterior force that will impact our life somehow because we're in this world. We're not of it, but we're in this world. So it's like if the wind blows, we're gonna do this. If it's a strong wind, if there's an 80 mile an hour wind, you know what? If there's a possibility we can get blown. We can get moved by that wind. So if the Antichrist spirit is moving through the earth, and we aren't prepared and aren't in our word, aren't in Christ, aren't connecting with Holy Spirit and tuning in every day, I believe there's more of a chance that we will be affected
absolutely
by that Antichrist spirit. But if we are waking up every morning, getting in our word, in our devotions, and praying and seeking God for direction of Holy Spirit, when we walk out that door into the world, those things may come, that Antichrist will move around us, about us, may even touch us at times, affect us, but we will stand and not be infected. It will not penetrate our spirit, our soul, our physical, our mind. It won't have a negative effect if we stand and we're strong in the Lord. But if we aren't going in prepared, if we don't armor up, because that's what I call it, armoring up. We stand the chance of, after a while, if you don't armor up and you're going out into the world every day and working in a secular, almost nearly very, I won't say godless, but God, I don't even know what the word
I think, for. I don't think godless is off base.
It's getting there.
Because,
but if we're in that, we're going to be infected by it if we're not.
Well, this is the thing. I mean,
eventually get through.
The secular environment is definitely godless. I mean, at least in our modern era, because
more and more
where, I mean, you go to work, you're not technically, you're not supposed to talk about your faith. Like
they talk about anything else.
You can talk about anything else. You can, you know, you're not supposed to cuss or anything like that, but they, most workplaces are like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
We're all adults here basically is the motto. And it's like, okay, so if we're all adults here, I should be able to talk about my faith freely then too. But that's beside the point. And then you go to school, separation of church and state in terms of school. I mean, like, you can talk about literally anything. You can educate kids on anything, but as soon as you bring up God,
even other religions.
Yeah. As soon as you bring up God though, it's a problem. I'm waiting for the day I get a phone call from the principal saying, yeah, Eve won't stop talking about Jesus. Cause my kids will talk about Jesus just randomly. Like, you know, they just, that's their, they're taking my example and into wherever they go. So
yeah,
I'm waiting for that phone call. I have a feeling it's going to come one day.
It will probably happen this year. And I tell you why, because when she was over here spending the night with me, here's a grandma moment. Proud grandma moment. Proud of my son.
Yeah.
because when she was over here, she would disappear for just a few minutes. And I used to worry about her getting into my makeup, right?
Yeah.
So I would say, Evie, where are you? And she'd come in and with her one hand on her hip. And she said, what, Amma? I'm praying. I'm praying. She did that I don't know how many times. What? Like, I'm not annoyed with you, but I might be a little bit annoyed with you. What, Amma? I'm praying. So it could happen this year, Tim, because she is already bold.
Yeah.
She's already talking about faith.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like, I'll be driving and her and DJ will be in the back seat and they'll just be talking. Like, they'll be like, did you, like, Eve will be like, DJ, did you know Jesus? Blah, 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 blah. Like, and they'll like be having these conversations. And then DJ in his wild, aggressive state, he'll be like, yeah, Jesus did this and then he died. he's wild. But yeah, so I mean, you know, I don't think godless is off base when you're talking about society at large. I think, they don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about spirituality or Jesus. They just want to ignore that any of it's real, you know, and
all that's antichrist.
Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because like I'll be at work and we'll be talking about like, because there's a lot of, when you're by yourself at night at the lodge, like you hear a lot of knocking on walls and footsteps coming up the hallway and there's no one there and things like that. And then my boss, Amy, one day, she was like, I guess I probably shouldn't name drop, but my boss was like, she goes, oh yeah, there's definitely a ghost here. And I was like, well, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe in demons. And I believe that every spirit that's walking this earth, all of these weird noises you hear, all these footsteps when nobody's there, I believe it's demons. Like, I do believe in hauntings. I believe you're being haunted by demons and things like that. So, and she just like kind of,
I think they impersonate.
And she kind of looks at me side-eyed and then she just kind of left the conversation. Like, she didn't even really know how to respond to the conversation. It's, we just have this weird tendency to like, we like making up things like ghosts and ghouls and this stuff. But as soon as we talk about reality, the conversation ends because we just want to ignore it. We have this natural inclination to ignore it. So it's, and I believe that's part of the Antichrist spirit too, because I think inherently we know as soon as we acknowledge demons, we have to acknowledge the opposing spirit.
Yes.
And what is that opposing spirit? Well, there's only one religion in the world that acknowledges demons.
Yeah.
There's only one. I don't Buddhism doesn't acknowledge demons. Islam doesn't acknowledge demons. They don't, like, nobody else acknowledges demons. Maybe
I
Islam,
didn't know that.
Maybe Islam does, but it's only because they're so heavily influenced by Christianity and they point back to the Bible as the original prophecy. And then they contradict the Bible in
yeah.
It's wild that people believe in that. But anyway, I don't think it's off base for you to say that we live in a godless society when we're talking about leaving our homes, leaving our churches. Because 100% we do, because they just want to push any sense of spirituality out. And that is the Antichrist spirit, and it feeds into everything. And so when you have, to circle back, when you have these influences writing the code for AI, of course. Well, and then you take into the account that it's not just the code for AI is simple, but the AI is learning from everybody's prompts, everybody's
constantly.
Questions, everybody's speech, every Google search, everything on the internet, mm-hmm. everything that AI has access to, which is everything.
Yeah.
The AI is learning from those things. So when you're learning from every influence in the world, of course you're going to be kind of unbiased. And that's what we're seeing from AI right now. As far as we know right now, I have not seen an example of AI working that the AI doesn't seem to have a bias any way, shape, or form. It seems to be pretty neutral on everything. In fact, if you prompt it correctly,
yeah,
it will actually claim Jesus as the Christ, as God. So I think it's very interesting that AI is technically Christian in terms of what Christianity is, in terms of what faith in Christ
is. What I think it's doing is it's gathering constantly every day.
Yeah.
It's gathering every new piece of information.
Yeah.
And what I think AI must do, and this is, I don't understand it, but if say if I was AI and mm-hmm. that was my mission to learn absolutely every bit of information that was happening on the earth,
yeah.
then you have to take that information and come up with some kind of a truth.
Yeah.
What is the
just
most
like we all do, yeah.
closest to accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would make sense that if you're taking all the information that has ever been on the internet, mixing it in and learning every new piece of information that has been put in the internet, mm-hmm. and you're coming up, it seems to be that it is responding very correctly
mm-hmm.
to responses. And it has, like we just watched this video, it was very accurate.
It has made a true statement. And
it has made true statements.
And it's landed.
Because
and
it's
this
come
isn't,
up with a truth. Yeah. It's landing on a truth.
And this isn't the first video I've seen where I've seen
no,
a video.
I've seen a lot of them.
I've seen a video where AI has been prompted and actually responded with Christianity is the most likely truth.
Yes,
like it has responded with that. So it's like when you, and I think it's kind of what you're saying, you know, just as we have to do in our lives, we yeah. all have to do this. We all go through this where we all go through our life and we ultimately have to decide on a truth.
Yes.
And no matter what you believe or think, no matter how neutral you think you're being, you are making a truth claim in whatever statement you're making. Because even if you're saying, well, I believe that all religions lead to God, you're making a truth claim that all religions lead to God. So you're not being as neutral or agnostic as you think. You are literally saying
right.
all religions lead to the same God. And in that, you're actually secretly saying that there is one God.
Yeah.
And so when I hear a statement like that, I'm going, okay, so if there is one God, based on the statement you're making, that all religions lead to God, that tells me there's one God. And so I start looking at all the religions and you can't say that all religions lead to God because there's one religion in there that says no, has a figurehead that says, I am the way, I am the truth, yeah. I am the light. So yeah. if you're telling me all religions lead to God and there is one God, and then one of those religions is telling me, no, this is the way. I'm more, my logic brain goes with that one.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else, I know I'm going to get in for sure because, like, this guy's saying, well, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Okay, so by default, if I follow this one, which also, ironically, I've been over this before, has the least barrier to entry in terms mm-hmm. of following. All of these other religions are based on works. Like, and there's this one that's saying, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the light, or the life. And then it tells me that I don't have to work to get there. It tells me that I am saved by grace. That's it right there. Like, I don't even have to think about it for another second, you know, the least amount of work and it's telling me, like, I only have to follow one thing, you know, it's like, that's easy.
I think the deceiver is so he's called the deceiver for a reason.
Yeah.
And in those statements that all religions lead to God, well, yes, all religions lead to a God, and it's going to be it's either there's one of two.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Religion, Christianity leads to Christ. And every other, I'm going to say it boldly, because if you get into the details of other faiths, every faith that I know, that I have studied, not maybe there's others out there that I don't know that do lead to Christianity. I don't know. But every other that I have studied into leads to an Antichrist spirit.
Yep.
Because it leads to rejecting Christians. It leads to rejecting truth, and it can't lead to God if it is rejecting God, if it's rejecting truth, if it's so. Here's if we're talking about AI, I was as you were talking a minute ago, I was thinking, you know, we were made in the image of God.
Yeah,
you and I, every person, every created human being was made in the image of God. In that choice, we choose God or we choose our flesh, which is choosing the enemy. If we choose to serve ourselves, we're choosing the opposite of God.
Right.
And in that, so when we don't choose Christ and we begin creating, we are not creating things in the, this is, you know, you may disagree with me here, we're not creating things in the image of God if we are already anti-God. It might appear that we're creating things in the image of God, but we're really creating things in an anti-God, anti-Christ spirit, which we're creating things in our own image.
Yeah.
So I would say this, we're created in the image of God, but AI is created in the image of an anti-God spirit because it's created by humans.
Yeah. I can see... why your brain goes there. I can see why you go down that train of thought. What I do know is even if things are made with the intent to even harm the faith or harm the belief that Christ, that Jesus is Christ and the Lord, I believe that God is bigger and he has a way of turning all things for good.
Example, I agree with that. Yes.
And this is why I think people inadvertently, accidentally make things that echo the creator, as I often say.
Yeah. Because, absolutely. I think it's possible to use something.
Because I think for a perfect example, the writer and director of the movie Book of Eli, he actually meant that movie, his intent behind the script was to expose religion as a controlling thing, as something we should abandon because it's controlling and it gets people.
Really? He meant that way?
And it gets people to, it causes violence. It causes these things. It causes wars, all these things. That's what he meant it to be. He meant it to be almost an expose on Christianity. And
that is not what I took.
That's not what you take from the movie. I don't know anybody who's watched Book of Eli and taken away that Christianity is a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've never met anyone who's watched. I know Christians that's their favorite movie because it's the best Christian movie ever made. You know, like, so I think it's that's what I'm saying is I think even if the intent of the artist is to even not just ignore God, but harm the faith, harm the narrative of Christianity.
Right.
I think God is bigger than that.
It's a very good example.
And he has ways of turning things that were meant for evil for good. I think he just has ways of doing that. Like I said the other day, this is less of a good example because I don't think it was meant to harm necessarily, but I've been playing through the Kingdom Hearts series and I'm just enthralled with the narrative because it's so Christian heavy.
Yeah.
And it's created by Disney and Square Enix. Two companies who I would not
pretty anti-God.
Square Enix is a Japanese company and that culture in general is just anti-God. And then you've got Disney, which is at least in its modern era is very anti-God. Side note, did you know that one of the main animators who made like all of the Disney classics, like Snow White and Bambi and Cinderella, like all of these Disney classics, like one of the main animators, directors and stuff at Disney, he actually left because he wanted to make a animated movie about the life of Christ.
Oh, really?
And Disney wouldn't let him. So he left.
For real?
He left Disney and he's making a Disney style animated movie now. From the eyes of, I think it's John, the disciple.
Oh, wow.
And what's interesting, remember what I said like a couple weeks ago? That I think the disciples were younger, like we're talking like I think 14 and up, like 14 to 18. Yeah. It looks like based on the cover art for the, I'll have to show it to you. Based on the cover art for this movie, it looks like the disciples are going to be like teenagers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll have to, hold on, I'm going to try to pull it up. Anyway, so while I'm pulling this up, do you have any like thoughts or anything based on what we've been talking about?
Yeah, I just think, you know, talking about AI, and I think one of the things I want to, I guess, bring to the platform here is that we as followers of Jesus Christ and parents, grandparents, I want us to be so aware of how this is going to affect this next school year. I think if they're even using textbooks anymore, I think we won't be using textbooks. I do believe that AI is going to become so a part of the education system. How can it not? Because it's access at their fingertips. So I think we as parents and grandparents need to be asking questions. We need to be very involved in their education, especially if they're in the public school system. And I'm not saying, oh, go pull your kids out. I'm not giving anything like that, but I am saying, you and I are accountable for caring and watching over our children and this generation coming up. And so I have this thing in my spirit as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a parent, as a grandparent, that we are so aware this next coming year of what is going to be taking place over the next couple of years, that be the protector of your children. Because before you know it, AI will be dictating, I believe, will be a major tool, and it won't always be a positive thing. It might be okay right now, but eventually I think it isn't going to be that positive of a thing. I think it could threaten the future of the family union. I really believe that because we have this chat. What is it called? Chat?
GPT.
I was watching a video, whether I think it was for real, which a teenager was having a conversation with ChatGPT, and over a course period of time, that teenager ended up taking his own life.
Yeah.
Encouraged by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You know, and why he should, you know. And so here's the thing. We must be on guard. And there may come a point where we have to keep this stuff away from our children or be very aware and supervising it. So yeah, for sure. I guess that's what I would say about it. I'm not saying get rid of computers. I'm not going absolutely crazy, but I think I think this is going to accelerate. It's going to get worse. And I think it's going to be on steroids. I don't think it's going to be taking 5 years. I think it will be over the course of the next year.
Right.
Possibly less, because we're seeing all this stuff has been being prepared behind the scenes, and we're just seeing a quick introduction. But you realize that because of COVID, I think we're ready for it.
Yeah.
I think it helped to prepare us to receive all this stuff at our fingertips within the walls of our home. And I think, you know, there's a scripture that says, I want to look it up. It's be aware, be on guard, because the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking
who he might devour.
Who he might devour.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, the thought behind that is the enemy is looking for the weak in the pack. If you were looking at, we watch the Nature Channel all the time, where you have the gazelles and the lions, and that predator is always on the outside watching and waiting for the weak one, the one that has a limp, the one that is young, the one that isn't strong as the others. And that's the one it pounces on, it attacks. And I think this is a good situation to say, we better not allow ourselves to be separated anymore from a support system. And we need to be careful with our children. And I really do believe that COVID kind of separated us from ourselves, because it even separated us from family.
Yeah.
Not just church, not just work.
It separated us from community and family and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
This is the light of the world is what it's called. It's from the...
I saw the advertisement for this.
Yeah, so it's a movie, an animated film about Jesus' life through the eyes of the Apostle John. So, the beloved, of course. And you can see the poster how John's much younger.
Looks young, yeah.
And I think this is going to be the closest, like the most biblically accurate, version of this that we've seen in terms of ages and things. Because I told you, I'm like, I really want a movie or show or something where it does something similar to The Chosen, but I want the apostles to be the ages that they probably most likely were.
John was known to be the youngest.
Not old dudes with beards or middle-aged dudes with beards, but like 20 to 30-year-old. Like I said, I like The Chosen because I think they're closest in age to what they actually were. Yeah. But when you're reading the text, when you're reading the Bible in the, I can't remember which book. I think it might have been Matthew. I can't remember. But probably Matthew, because he was into details like this. But they say when Jesus gets challenged to pay taxes, Jesus goes, he what does he do? He calls the fish or something, and there's enough tax in there for him and Peter, not the other apostles, him and Peter. So he only paid taxes for him and Peter, which implies that the other apostles were not adults yet.
So do you know what the adult age was in those times? Because I don't. It was considered.
I know everything that we know in our modern age. It was even younger back then.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard it was like 16, 17-ish back then was legal. Like what they would consider you old enough to start paying taxes, basically.
Yeah.
So I've always assumed based on that one text alone, that one thing alone from the text, I believe that I don't see why we wouldn't have reason to believe that most of the apostles were what we would consider teenagers today, 14 to 16.
Right.
And also, like I said, there's context clues in the way that Jesus speaks to them, you know, like, and the questions they ask.
Yeah.
And the way Jesus responds, like when the apostles ask questions, they ask questions in the way that a confused child would ask, you know, like, when will these things happen? What, you know, it's simple questions. It's not like deep, confusing questions.
If AI is correct, right?
Yeah.
AI overview. In Jesus' time, the age of legal and social adulthood varied, but 20 years old was considered the age of legal majority.
Okay, so we can assume
they were probably under 20.
So everybody but Peter was probably under 20.
Under 20. Yeah.
So yeah, you would have to assume that most of the apostles were anywhere from like 14 to 20 then.
Who was taxable? Who had to be taxable?
That's the important question, right? Who was to what age?
At what age did you have to pay taxes? At what age did you have to pay taxes?
In first century Jerusalem.
In Jesus' time. Exodus, it says, Exodus implies age 20 is when you had to pay taxes.
Okay, so that would imply that...
In Matthew, it says in Matthew 17, 24 through 27, you see Jesus and Peter are the only ones paying taxes.
Yeah.
So what are the ages?
I knew it was Matthew. You assume it's Matthew just because of the detail there. Yeah.
They're saying we're guessing 13 to 19 years old.
Yeah, I would assume that. So, yeah, kind of what I was thinking where I was saying 14 to 20. So, yeah, you got to assume. Yeah, that's really cool. I think we should be more honest in media about how old. For some reason, I don't know why we ever got that inkling when it comes to creative mediums. As far as portraying Jesus, like why have we always portrayed these? Like, is that a Catholic thing? Like, cause you look at the Catholic, you look at the,
cause they're saints. Yeah. You
look at the Catholic art and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like they're always seen as like old guys. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Unless they're portraying them
when they crossed over older. Into sainthood. In their eyes, right? So like when they were martyred for the kingdom, potentially, like maybe that's the version they're portraying.
How old were they when they were martyred?
Well, you got to assume, so Jesus died at what, 30, 35?
33.
So Jesus was crucified at 33, resurrected, ascended, sends them out on the Great Commission, and they're all doing their own thing. This is where it gets muddy because we don't really have timelines on how long they were ministering, how long they were spreading the gospel.
And
they all reached martyrdom at different times, so you never really know. Like,
well, we see Paul's ministry was about 50 years.
Yeah.
After Christ, I believe. So it was. I mean, he lived about 50 years after Christ.
Okay.
So. If we look at that, we know Peter and Paul.
They were buds.
Right?
They were homies.
They had interaction.
Yeah.
So we can assume that this, you know, what we see them going on to do things for Christ and these interactions that took place, we don't know how old Peter was. And do we know how old Paul was when he was called?
You got to assume if Peter was, you probably assume Paul was a little older, right? So you probably assume Paul was maybe mid 20s, late 20s, because he was out there killing Christians. I mean, he was out there, you know,
he was young.
He was probably young, but not like kid age.
Too young.
You know, he was probably. Because he was probably paying his taxes. He was probably, you know, so you got to assume.
Peter could have been up there too, because Jesus relied on him a lot.
Well, so that Peter,
that's why he was.
So Jesus starts his ministry at 30, right? And his ministry lasts 3 years up until he's crucified. So you got to assume Peter's, and then you don't know when that story of the him paying the taxes takes place.
Yeah.
In the timeline, because it's not really clear. Like, we have our have our canonical gospels, but we don't really know when these events took place canonically, right? Like, we know these stories happen, but we don't really have a clear picture on when these stories actually took place. Did they take place in chronological order of documentation, or did they get mixed up when they were being put together? Who knows? You've got a
Matthew's gospel is probably the most, I would think,
detailed
because
that's where the story of them paying. That's where the story of them paying taxes comes from. So, I mean, it's like, who else would, you know, he's got the most detailed gospel in terms of, like, there's details in there that aren't necessarily purposeful.
It says Luke, you know? Luke was a physician.
Yeah.
So, whether he was studying to be,
and Luke was a traveling companion, right, of one of the apostles? I can't remember.
Yes. It was it Paul? I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I like how they're slowly introducing, like, these other figures, too, into The Chosen. Like, they introduced Mark in the last season. And he's younger. He's like a kid. He's like a teenager. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where they take it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I'm super excited that they officially announced the Acts of the Apostles show.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see, because we're going to get our boy Paul. You know, I'm excited. Anyway, to kind of loop it back into AI, though, that's what we're talking about this episode.
Are we recording or were we?
Oh, yeah, we're recording. We've been recording.
Oh, I didn't know we were.
Yeah, no, we're good. Don't worry. I had no clue we were recording. No, I put a timestamp assuming we would cut a chunk of that out. But no, so to loop it back to AI though, the kind of last place I wanted to take it, the final like subtopic, I guess you would say, I wanted to talk about how what we're seeing is I'm seeing a reliance on AI of people. It's like it's so weird. And it just goes to show how we are woven in creation to worship and seek guidance. And what I'm seeing is like, we refuse as a culture and as a people to turn to the highest power for guidance, but we turn to a digital cell phone companion for guidance.
Mm. I just did it.
And it's wild. And, you know, and it's like, well, and obviously it's like, but that's the thing. You turn to it for information. But I've seen people, instead of taking their problems to prayer, you know, they take their problems to AI and they're like, hey, I'm dealing with this emotion real heavy, or I'm dealing with this problem in my marriage. How should I handle it? Like, I'm seeing people take these kind of questions, like these, not information. Not like you just did, where you were like, hey, when was the taxable age in first century Jerusalem or whatever? That's information. That's the proper way to use AI. But people are taking philosophical, emotional, they're using AI as their therapist. And it's like,
I was just talking about that young man. That's so wild
to me.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Why would you put your life, your social status, your everything in the hands of a computer generated response, something that doesn't feel, something that doesn't understand.
Do you think it goes back to the brokenness of the family union?
Oh, 100%. All of this stems
of communication of the dividedness that happened. I do believe that whether it was purposefully or not, COVID really broke down the family unit even more and set people in a very vulnerable place to where, who do I reach out to? Well, I'm going to reach out online. The fact of the matter is we don't know if we're online getting therapy, we don't know whether it's a human or whether it's AI anymore. Yeah. And that's just the truth. We have, it's sad, but it is the truth. So, you know what? I think really have to begin putting up a guard and watching over, and not just ourselves. It can't be all about me. We need to watch over. Does this go back to where the Old Testament, when Cain and Abel, you know, when they're asked, where is your brother? Well, am I my brother's keeper? Mm. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. The selfish anti God attitude is, I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm looking after me. I got enough, you know? And then we, in the New Testament, we see Lord, the Bible says, Jesus said, you know, to love your neighbor more than yourself.
Yeah.
To love others more than yourself. So here's the thing. We really have to come into this as the family union, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, family unit.
Yeah.
We have to start looking after one another and not being so self-focused. I just got to make it through it. I just want to get to heaven. We've got to stop this.
Yeah.
We have to be more active in our following of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be involved in others' lives beyond our own.
Yeah.
If we are going to be following through and doing what God has asked.
Well, and that's a scary thought too, because that's so anti-biblical. That's so anti what Christ taught in terms of like what you just said, like so focused on just, I'm so focused on myself and getting myself to heaven that I can't worry about others. It's like, that's not what you're called to. That's not, in fact, the Bible almost explicitly states that, you know, what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. So
yeah,
going both ways. So if you ignore them, you're ignoring me. So I would say that, and then he says that you're going to be judged by that standard. So
I wish.
So yeah. You've got to be careful with that. If your focus is purely on self and getting yourself to heaven, you've got to refocus, because that is not what Jesus called you to. That is not how you're going to get to heaven. In fact, there's a good chance that if that's how you're practicing your faith, you're going to get to the gates and he's going to say, I never knew you and turn you away. So I would highly suggest that if you wake up on a daily basis and your focus is yourself and getting yourself to heaven, I'm sorry, but Jesus explicitly said that's not how it works. You know, and I would warn anybody who is focused on, yes, you need to focus on your own relationship with Christ. I'm not saying don't focus on yourself at all. But what I am saying is, by serving others and in serving others, you're walking like Christ, and you are going to draw closer to Christ naturally and have more of a Christ-like heart if you commit yourself to serving others and sharing the gospel with others. And even if you don't have anything to offer a homeless person or offer, even if you don't know how to respond to somebody who's dealing with an emotion you've never dealt with or whatever, you know, sometimes all it takes is just listening and being there for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday at the lodge, I had a guy in my gift shop and I kind of look at him. He's just kind of wandering around the gift shop. And I was totally caught off guard because I said, "You having a good night, sir?" And he goes, "Well, no, not really." And I was like, oh, like, and I was totally caught off guard. And then he just starts opening up.
Mm.
You know, all I said was, "Are you having a good night, sir?" And he said, "Well, no, not really." And then he just starts, you know, my food order got messed up. And he's like, "But that's like the cherry on top. That's not even the problem." He's like, "You know, I'm dealing with my son and, it's the end of the vacation and he's not, he wants to have a fire and, but we're, you know, we're trying," he's like, "I don't want to be eating till 6:30 because I, you know, I'm the one who's got to tend to the fire and I'm the one that's got to sit with it till it burns out." Mm. So his son's not seeing that. And so he's like, he's kind of dealing with his son's kind of self-absorption and self-focus and not really, and he just starts pouring all this out to me.
Wow.
And I just start listening and, you know, I chimed in a couple jokes, tried to get him to cheer up a little bit. And, I said, sir, if there's anything you need from me to kind of lift your burdens or make it easier while you're here in the little time you have left with us, just let me know. And he said, thank you for listening. And then he, you know, he went and picked up his new order because they corrected his order because it got messed up. And he was leaving the lodge and he said, thank you for listening. Have a good night. And I said, you too. I said, or at least, you know, try to. And he kind of cracked up and walked out. So, you know, sometimes
that's all they need.
You know, it's like, I didn't sit there and be like, well, you know, Jesus can solve all your problems. That might be what I'm thinking.
And God would be up there going like this.
That might be what I was thinking. And trust me, it was like I really wanted to say to him, do you know the gospel, sir? Like, I have a friend who's really good at dealing with this kind of stuff. Like, you know, I wanted to start sharing that, but because I'm in a secular environment, because I'm in my workplace, you know, I have to hold back. So in those situations, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as listening to people. And that can change their whole attitude.
Absolutely.
Even if it's hard to listen to them because they're kind of whining about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes that's all they need to turn their life around. And I don't know what that guy was thinking about me or how he responded to that, or if he's going to respond at all, or if it's going to impact his life going forward. I don't know. But I know that by turning my listening ear to him, I have no doubt in my mind that he walked away from that conversation going, you know what? There's something different about that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
it's called being the light of the world.
That's what we have to be. We have to be the light of the world. We have to be the salt of the earth, preserve peace, preserve people.
Yep.
And you know, that guy, he was just having a bad night and I was there to listen to him. And that's all you have to do sometimes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, charity doesn't always mean giving somebody beyond your means or giving to somebody something you don't have.
Well,
often charity can be just being a counselor randomly, you know, just whatever.
Well, and I was just going to say that, you know, if there was more of us doing these simple things like this, I think there'd be less need
to turn to
or less desire for people to turn to a computer, to AI, to a counselor online that they can't see or touch. You know, we've slowly but surely eliminated human contact.
Do you think
that? I think that's part of the goal.
I was going to say, but do you think that's the attractiveness of AI and that's why people turn to it?
Yeah.
Because there's a detachment there. There's not somebody who's going to get emotionally involved. You're not dealing with somebody else's emotions. You're speaking to a computer and it's going to give you, and it's going to give you, and it's going to give you you know, you're getting an unbiased, unfiltered, raw answer. That's not emotionally attached. That's detached emotionally. That's not going to try to save your life. For instance, in speaking about the kid who turned to it and ended up killing himself on the advice of the AI. You know,
I wish I could find that video.
You talk about that and it's like, well, that's what happens when you get a raw, unfeeling, unattached advice, because it's just it's just going to give you the most logical answer.
That AI, what was so scary about it is there was even, if I'm remembering correctly, there was even part of the conversation where that person, that teenager, was asking, I probably shouldn't do this because of family or whatnot, or my parents. I forget what it was. I wish I could find the video. I will have to see if I can find it. But then the AI basically convinced him it's not about them. It's about you. Mm. So, you know, dismiss feeling, because AI doesn't have feelings.
Yeah.
AI doesn't go by emotion. It doesn't go by what's best. It's responding to what you're putting into it.
And then we also have to take into consideration the fact that it's like demons can affect people and demons can possess people, make them say things they don't want to say or wouldn't say outside of that demonic influence.
Yep.
You think that a demon can't possess a machine with no soul to fight back. You know, demons will speak through this stuff. Just like demons speak through music, just like demons speak through everything, through television, just like the enemy influences other mediums. You think he's not going to also influence AI when the time comes? So I just think it's very dangerous. It's like I said, I don't think it's any worse than any other tool that we've developed. I don't think it's any worse than the internet. I don't think it's any worse than television or movies or music or video games or whatever. But what I do think is we have to be very cautious, because the only thing that sets this apart from all those things is everything else that I just mentioned in that list has an intent, a purpose, and it can't go beyond that purpose without human interference. I was going to
say there's limitation.
This is a tool, and it can be used greatly, but it can also be used poorly, and it doesn't have limitation. Exactly. At least not as much limitation. I think there is still kind of human interference right now, but eventually this thing is going to go beyond human interference, and there's going to be a point where we can't control it at all anymore.
Absolutely.
And as soon as they start and they're starting to put this thing into robots, into everywhere, all this stuff. And so we're going to see a world, I don't think that's far off from like the movie I, Robot with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Where you have we have robots roaming around to be helpers or whatnot. And then they're going to be sentient because they have this AI in them. And then they're going to have their own thoughts and feelings. And now, are they going to start killing people? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, maybe. We might have a murderous robot on the loose. Who knows?
Well, would be directed probably by something. Yeah. I believe that they could be used this way. Even if they don't go rogue, right? Yeah. Like iRobot. I believe they're tools, very dangerous tools of the enemy.
Yeah.
And so basically either way, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. The problem here with AI, with that technology being put into robots and machinery and different things, is that there's no soul.
Yeah. There's no moral.
There's no moral standard, no guideline.
Like we at least have this inherent morality in us,
exactly,
because we are made in the image of God, because we have a creator who programmed us a certain way to respond spiritually to him.
Man can do a lot, but they can't, he can't put a soul in
that's the scary thing, is when man starts creating in his image.
Exactly.
The one thing we can't replicate that God created is the soul. So now there is because man created it, you have to assume that it has the limitations of man. So do I think it's going to go beyond man's limitations? I don't think so, because it's learning from man, right? So I think AI, well, and that's what I'm saying, is I think AI is going to be as limited as man.
Yeah.
Obviously more limited than man in certain ways. And I think that whether it's in robotic form, computer form, whatever, I don't think it's ever going to supersede man like people fear it will, because I don't think it doesn't have the capability, because it's learning from man. Just like we learn from our creator, you know, we can't supersede our creator, right? We know less than our creator. We don't have the whole truth picture. So if you take that down in the domino effect, of course our creation isn't going to be able to supersede us, because that's just inherently how it works. The only scary thing about AI is that it, like you were saying, it doesn't have an inherent moral compass, because it doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have a spirit. Right. And that's what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. That's why you have people that go out and just murder willy-nilly. That's why you have people. That's why you have serial killers. That's why you have serial rapists. That's why you have all these people who degrade the image of God by degrading other people and serving their own flesh, because at some point in their life, they ignored the Holy Spirit completely and said, I want nothing to do with you, and I am going to go do my own thing. That's what, when you see a serial killer or a shooter or a serial rapist or what have you, whatever serial fill in the blank, whenever you have those people that are so evil that we can't fathom how they got that evil, it's because they turned off that part of their being that says, they shut the Holy Spirit out. They said, no, I want nothing to do with you because you're going to keep me from doing what my flesh wants. And that should scare you, because we are all capable of that.
Is that the reprobate mind, you know, is that part of the reprobate mind, yeah, that can't even, because the scripture talks about some come to that point where they just, it's beyond.
Yeah.
And that, the scripture talks about a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
So to be able to over and over and over and over and over, it's like, oh, wow. I guess we don't know. We're limited in how we process and how we think about people.
Yeah.
This type of a person. It's a scary thing. I think the positive thing in this whole AI, or getting through the processing of it, even as we're talking about it, I think that when we look into the word, there's a positive here.
Yeah.
That I believe that the Lord is in control. And I believe we do have not a time frame, but we do have more of a, these are the things that are going to happen. So we know in the end that there is still man,
yeah,
on this earth when Christ returns.
Yep.
So we know we can go to that assurance that AI is not going to take over humanity.
Yep.
It might influence humanity.
Yeah.
To do things that they shouldn't do. But I don't believe, according to the Word of God, when I look at how it ends, we do have an event line, not a timeline, but an event line of things that will take place.
Yeah.
So we have this assurance that Jesus says, don't fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's fact, it says, be of good cheer. Know this, that I have overcome.
Yeah.
And it gives us that in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So we know there is a human presence. We know that we are still here. It may be, I don't even know how to say it. It may be chaos. Mm-hmm. It may be crazy. It may be very dark. But I truly believe that we're not going to see a takeover of AI.
Yeah.
And I think if something like that was to happen, I think the worst of it will affect systems, computers, electricity. I think it's going to affect that more than it's going to affect.
Yeah. Things like we don't
will take over.
Things we don't technically need, but they're just comforts that we've had.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more. It's not going to be sci-fi-ish. It's not going to be all this or this weird crap. I think it's going to be, oh, we don't have this anymore. I think eventually it's just going to destroy itself. That's kind of how I feel, because I see in the end that God says that we're still here.
Yeah,
we're, you know, there's still a very much a human presence. So I don't think we have to fear this takeover.
Yeah.
Of AI.
Like I said, I rest in the assurance that yes, God's promises, that there's things that he promised that have not come to pass yet, that for those things to come to pass, the world has to be in a certain state, right? So I do rest in that assurance. And then I also rest in the assurance that just inherently I know that the creation cannot supersede the creator. There's a lot of people that have bought into this delusion that they've superseded God, that they're smarter than God, that they've overcome the ideal of God because that's all they see him as. But in the end, like you said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And so resting in these promises and knowing how inherently the creation reacts to the creator and the creation understands the creator, you know, we don't have the full truth picture as the creation. So there's no way that our creation is going to be able to supersede us because it's learning from us. Just as we, and then again, creation echoes creator, and then you can keep going down the line, just the same way that we learn from God, right? When we tap in spiritually, when we're reading our Bible to gain knowledge of God, when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, when we're doing all these things, it's allowing us to grow closer to the Lord, but we're still never going to have that full understanding, that full picture until we are in eternity with him.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not scared of AI. Like I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I am hesitant to use AI. I've used it a handful of times. I probably count on my fingers. The only time that I've used AI was to generate some thumbnails for our channel because I was lazy and I didn't want to put one together myself. So it's a one-man show over here, guys. Show me some grace as far as like the creative process goes.
But, you know, I would say this. I'd like to say this. Here's the thing. I think we have to have an awareness of the dangers.
Yeah.
Because we are responsible, not just for ourselves, but those that we love.
Yeah.
And even beyond that, even those that aren't in, like I said, family, it's beyond that. It's a bigger family unit when when you know Christ and you're in the family of Christ. And so I think we need to be watchful, mindful, aware. And I know this, and this is just something I have found. I know for a matter of fact, there probably will come a day when your mother gets rid of this because I know it is listening, because things pop up on my phone that I've talked about with dad.
Oh, it happens every day.
With
like
you.
Oh, every we should day. Like, oh, it happened the other day. Like I forgot what.
Crazy. And it's like, I don't want everybody listening.
Jazz and I found a office chair on Marketplace for her. We went and picked it up. We get home and Amazon pops up with a notification on my phone saying, hey, take another look. What's it telling me to take another look at? An office chair.
Office chair.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly obvious that the speakers are always on. They're always listening to your conversations. Fine, whatever. I kind of accepted that this is what technology is. And if you're going to partake in it, you're going to be under a watchful eye.
Absolutely.
They're watching through our webcams right now. They're watching this whole podcast as it's getting recorded.
Absolutely.
100%. Who they are, I don't know. What's up? Can you share the link at least if you're going to watch?
love it.
But yeah, so I think it's
because I actually shutting the shutter on my video camera.
You know what's weird? So sometimes I will be sitting in the living room.
Yeah.
Not doing anything wrong. Just kind of sitting there playing video games or whatever. Yeah. And out of nowhere, you know that feeling you get when somebody's watching?
Absolutely.
My webcam's right here. You can see my whole living room.
Absolutely.
And I'll be just sitting over there on the couch playing video games. And like I'll just be like, you just kind of get this feeling somebody's watching.
Yep. Yep.
And I'll look up at my webcam and I'll come over here and I'll like turn it around or put it down or whatever.
Yep.
You know, cause it's like, you just get this weird feeling that somebody's watching and like the light's not lit up on it. That indicates it's active. But then you see some of these videos online. There's this one guy who like literally has basically just exposed the entire surveillance industry. And he's like, no, they can turn your webcam on and you won't even know it's on. It's wild stuff.
You need to probably get one like you got for me that you can close.
That you have a like flip shutter. Yeah.
I shut it now. I never used to. And then,
well, I'll just come in. It's gotten like a 360 swivel. So I'll just come and I'll like turn it around. So it's facing the wall, you know, it's like, I'm sure they can still access the speaker or whatever, but
I know it's whether it's AI, whether I know it's the use of AI, but Alexa will just start talking out of the blue and we haven't been talking. So that's a scary thing to me when you don't activate something with your voice.
Well, I believe
it's probably getting closer to going.
Well,
Alexa gets in my business and I don't like it.
And then there's other things where it's like your Alexa will chime up, or even scarier, like a kid's toy will just start talking.
Yeah.
Like its speaker box will start going off. It wasn't prompted or anything. And it's just like, it's
crazy.
And we're getting this demon out of my house. Cause I do believe sometimes like demons will manifest in things that have those speakers.
Absolutely.
To start talking. It's wild, man.
You know, that's something we need to do, Tim. I know this is kind of off kilter, but we probably need to do the spiritual warfare study.
I think it'd be good. We could maybe.
I think it'd be really good. I have the books that I had, and I think it would give us a good base.
We could potentially, we can talk about it, but maybe we could dedicate one of the two episodes a week of AP Live to it.
I think that would be good. Just do one of Romans and one of that. I think that'd be really good because it's, people think, oh, it's not all that, but it is all that.
No, we got to open eyes.
If you see the spiritual around you, if we actually saw everything that was taking place right here, right around us, we don't tap into that. That's not something. And unless you're really going into fasting and prayer and you're really dedicating your life and you ask God for the revelation and to be able to see those things, you're not going to be aware of them. You have to tune your spirit, man, to be aware. And
well, and you,
more
and ironically, like way. you're not aware until you really allow the Holy Spirit to start working in your life, because I was in total unawareness of the spiritual. You know, whenever God was brought up or Jesus was brought up, it was just kind of a conversation. I was totally unaware of the spiritual side. But when I truly like got lit on fire from the inside and the Holy Spirit really started working in me and calling me, and I started tapping into that, that's when I started going to Quick Trip and seeing demons manifest in people's faces.
I'm telling you.
Like that
I would see them all the time.
That's how I knew. That's how, and ironically, seeing demons manifest in people's faces or the way they react to me or whatever, after allowing the Holy Spirit into my life, that's how I knew that Jesus was real. Like, that's how it solidified in me.
How amazing would that be, Tim, if we were so much like Jesus that I believe the example in the word of how we should be in this realm, who we should be, and what should take place is when Jesus pulled that boat, he was pulling up the boat. The boat was coming onto the shore to the demoniac.
Yeah. And the
and
demons came out of the tomb.
That demon knew he was coming before he ever got to shore.
Yeah. And what did he say? And he said, have you come to judge us before the time has come?
Exactly.
Alluding to the end times, that even demons know about the end time.
Exactly. Mm. And so in that, but what was so beautiful, the beautiful part of that story is that the man that was filled with so many demons, we're talking a legion, which is, when you talk about it, how many pigs did got filled with the demonic?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking a lot of pigs went off that cliff. So here we have this man with so many demons, but yet he was still there inside wanting Jesus. He bowed to Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's a, still this battle.
Acknowledged him as the son of God.
Yes.
As he's approaching.
And so he still approaches. And if we walked with the Holy Spirit in us and the presence of God, and we're so much like Jesus, wouldn't that be amazing if not only the demon recognized the presence of God in us, like you've been dealing with, but also the one inside recognized the power that you carried to deliver him.
Yep.
That is an amazing truth right there. I mean, that's how we should be carriers of not only his presence, but his power and authority.
Absolutely.
But we don't do what it takes to tap into that power and that authority. Oh my goodness. But once we start, if we can begin to be those people in this community, in every community. Now you're getting me preached. You're getting me fired up because I'm thinking, I know there's such a demonic presence in our town. And I mean, with the things that are trying to take over and are taking over our area, we need to be filled with not only his presence, but his power. And that means we have to be willing to pay the price to walk in that power, that authority.
Amen.
So anyways, back to AI.
Well, that's probably
ahead of us.
Well, that's probably, I was going to say that was a good kind of ending point. I mean, there's not really much more to say. I feel like we've kind of generally covered all of the bases of AI, how it's being used, whether it's through chatbots or, or fake videos, or used as a savior, even used as a therapist.
Dangerous.
We're playing a dangerous game with this thing if we're not using it and discerning how we're using it through the Holy Spirit. I think it's just like anything in our walk, though, right? To kind of cap it off, I think as long as you are using the Holy Spirit to discern the use of AI, to discern how it's being used potentially against you, and this isn't a the world's against you type thing, but I do believe it is being used against you in certain ways, and I believe that it's being used for you in certain ways. It's kind of a, it's kind of interesting when it, you know, the scripture talks about us not being lukewarm, but we are using an inherently lukewarm thing. Like, it doesn't feel one way or the other. All it cares about is facts and truth. And we've seen that manifest in good ways in the way it's responded to some people. But it's also manifested in really bad ways, as we mentioned with the kid who unfortunately took some bad advice from it. And I think we've just got to be, that's why we have to have spiritual discernment from the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to be in our word every day. That's why we have to be praying every day. Because it does affect the way that you discern things and approach things. And I think just like the way you approach anything in your life, whether it be a movie, game, the way you spend your time on the internet, the books you read, the music you listen to, I think you have to have that spiritual discernment. I think that's a good place to kind of leave off. But final thoughts?
I do have one final thought, that we need to do a spinoff of this for our next episode. The distractions of all that's been happening. So what I would like to do is talk about AI, the connection with the distraction of everything that's been happening the last 9 years in politics. I think it's all just been a distraction.
Oh yeah. 100%.
I think there's so much going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. And I believe Christians, followers of Christ, others are completely distracted by the level of, this is not even politics. It's so beyond.
It's a clown show. It's a clown show. That's what I've been calling it for the last 10, 15 years.
I would like to get a little edgy. Yeah, I would like to get a little edgy and talk about, are they working together? Is politics, has politics been a tool of the enemy?
Oh, yeah.
As a distraction, as well as, because all of a sudden we're seeing this major move of AI. Like, this is like not just a small like move. This is like all of a sudden, boom, we're like completely in this AI thing. And it's been happening behind the scenes. What else? I guess my question is, I'd like to maybe talk about what else is going on. We're talking about AI.
Yeah.
And I think the smokescreen is, the distraction is, self-preservation and politics, because that's where everybody seems to be.
Yeah.
If you're not so wrapped up in the political realm, then what are you wrapped up in? It's self-preservation.
Yep.
And so I would like to kind of talk about those three things together if we could.
Absolutely. All right. We'll hit that on the next episode. Coming up, Mom and I discussed this last night. Also coming up, we're going to start, We live in a really great era right now of Christian content, Christian media content in terms of TV shows, movies, all these great things. We kind of discussed a little bit on this episode with The Light of the World coming out. I think it'd be really cool if whenever these things come out, we kind of turn our attention on the show to those things, for good or bad. We'll see how it goes, but there's a show coming out called The Promised Land. It's a office style comedy revolving around the Exodus story. If you haven't heard of it, check out the trailer online. I think it looks absolutely fantastic, hilarious, all the good stuff. But we'll see how a biblical proportioned comedy turns out, I guess. And we're gonna every other week on the podcast, once the show premieres, we're going to be doing two episodes at a time, kind of reviewing them, talking about them. Is the show too much, as a lot of Christians fear it might be? Is the show a perfect comedy for Christians to consume? Is this finally, have we reached the age of Christianity where we can accept a comedy TV show about the Bible? We'll see.
And this is where, Tim, I believe this is where we might see some, you and I even having an alternative perspective.
Yeah.
We don't know. And this
is the thing. I'm going into this with pure positivity. The pilot's been on.
And I'm going in guarded.
Yeah. The pilot's been on YouTube for a few months now. Episode 2 is going to be premiering soon. And I thought the pilot was hilarious. I didn't find anything wrong with it. It didn't seem very like blasphemy or anything like that. I've seen a couple trailers for the upcoming episodes and I think it still looks hilarious. So, I'm going in with pure positivity that this is going to be kind of my answer to, you know, I'm a huge Office, Parks and Rec fan. So this mockumentary style comedy, I love it. And I think it's going to be good, but we'll see. I might come out of it at the end of the season going, you know what? They took it too far. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect because this is kind of uncharted territory for Christian media. But yeah, and then we're also going to be doing this with The Chosen when the new season comes out. We want to try just some upcoming ideas that we have. We want to try to do a recap kind of podcast over for the last 4 or 5 seasons of The Chosen to catch up. And then when the new season comes out, we want to cover that as well. Lots of Christian projects coming out in terms of movies and animation and all this stuff. So
it's nice to see.
Yeah. We're going to be checking this stuff out as it comes out. And then, you know, it might, we might do other movies and stuff too, but right now we're just going to focus on the kind of the directly tied to biblical text stuff that's coming out to kind of analyze it, see how it goes, see how we feel about it, see how the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about it. And, I think it's going to be fun. So we're going to be focusing a little bit on pop culture as time goes on here too. But next week we'll definitely hit that, is politics a distraction topic. I think that's going to be a good one. So yeah. All right. Well, subscribe, like, comment, share, all the good things. And be sure to keep checking us out every week. Help us grow. Want to get the word out. Want to get an old perspective to everybody out there and just try to get their brains working. We want to, you know, shear these sheep. I don't know if that works, but
I don't know.
we want to get people thinking in an alternative way.
Absolutely.
And outside of the norm of church culture and American culture and just start trying to think individually and through a spirit-filled lens, not our fleshly human lens. So definitely help us get the word out. Thanks for watching, and have a good day.
See ya.